the Ohio School of the Air. Men who made America. Stories of action, of achievement, of men and women who've contributed to the molding of the nation. Today, November's Child. November. The color, the gaiety, the festive spirit of autumn is dead. The fields lie barren, lifeless, bleak. The tang of fall has given way to cruel cold. It is November. And Louisa May Alcott was November's child. Louisa May Alcott. What memories the very name recalls, whether we be 8 or 80. For is not Louisa May Alcott really Joe March of Little Women? Who can measure the joy she gave, this little woman who created a national playmate in her own image and likeness? Louisa May Alcott is dead. But Joe March will live forever as long as Little Women and boys like Joe's continue to gladden this world. But Joe March was a happy heroine. The story of what might have been. The story of Louisa May Alcott is the story of what was. That is the story we tell today.
All right, hurry up, Anna. Hurry up and start. I want to hear you. Hurry. All right. Keep on playing, Anna. I'll go to the door. Oh, come in, Mrs. Twitchell. How do you do, Mrs. Sanders? Mommy will be right down.
Yes. Your mother asked us to come over to,
Well, can I stop
now, Louisa? Well, yes, I guess so.
We stopped in on our way home from putting up the Christmas greens at the church.
Oh, I'm so glad. We wanted you to see our play.
A play?
Yes. You see, Marmy's letting us give a play for our Christmas present. We think it's much nicer than Boughton presents.
I see. I'm sure that's very nice. Well, you run along and get ready, Louisa, and we'll wait for your mother.
Well, thank you. We're almost ready.
Isn't she the oddest child? Like a little old lady.
She's a very good child, and so handy with her little sisters.
The whole family's odd, if you ask me. A dreamy, shiftless father.
Oh, he's a very brilliant man and a good scholar.
But a very poor provider. It'll be a slim Christmas in this house if I know anything about it. A play for a Christmas present.
Well, I must say they don't seem to mind. I've never seen a happier family, even though they are a poor as church mice.
Oh, Emma, Mrs. Sanders, I'm so sorry.
Oh, good afternoon, Abby.
Mrs. Alcott.
I'm so glad you both came. The children would have been so disappointed not to have an audience. And Mr. Alcott had to go to Boston today for our winter provisions.
Well, we're ready to start, Marmy.
All right. Now, where shall the audience sit, Louisa?
Well, they're in the front row, Marmy. You're to sit in the middle. Play, Anna.
You ready, May?
No, Beth can't get her wig on.
Keep playing, Anna.
Ready now.
All right, Anna.
In her father's gardening clothes and that mustache.
I am the great Hugo who despises the young Rodrigo. I will kill him with an evil potion, for he loves my beautiful Zara, purest lass in all the world. Come, Hagar, witch of the black heart. I would have words with you.
Is that me?
Yes. Doesn't she look just like a witch with that horrible wig and false nose?
Who calls old Hagar to brew a potion? Tis I, Hugo. I would be rid of Rodrigo.
Come on, Beth. I'm coming.
And who might you be?
I goodness. I overheard your parents, and I have come to tell you that you must not do this wicked deed. You will ruin all your days.
Just a minute, girls. It must be your father.
Oh, but, Mommy, we're right in the middle of the play.
Why, Bronson, we didn't expect you until morning. Girls, it's father. Someone run and get his slippers and warm them. Louisa, put the tea kettle on the fire for some tea.
But, Mother, the play.
I guess we better be going along.
Yes, we must be going, Abby. Merry Christmas, Abby. Bronson, goodbye. Goodbye, Louisa.
Well, goodbye. Goodbye.
I'm so sorry, but of course if you must go.
But I didn't even get to come on a stage.
I'm sorry, girls, but the play will have to wait. Your father has driven all the way from Boston, and he's very tired.
I'll get your slippers, Father.
The water's boiling. I'll have your tea in a moment, Father, dear.
Come over by the fire and warm yourself, Bronson. Louisa, don't you and Anna want to put your coats on and bring in the groceries?
Don't bother, girls.
You haven't. That bundle isn't all the provisions you've brought.
Why, no. As a matter of fact.
Bronson, you haven't bought anything else, have you?
Well, you see, my dear, I happened to pass a bookshop this morning, and there was a marvelous set of philosophy books in the window. Just what I'd been wanting. And a great bargain they were, too.
Bronson, is there any money left?
Oh yes. Yes, to be sure.
How much?
Why, let me see. $4 and some odd change.
And you spent $25 for a set of books.
But they were a bargain. How can I keep on learning and giving lectures if I don't have books?
But what shall I do? No groceries. And Christmas day after tomorrow.
Louisa, does that mean that we won't have any Christmas dinner?
Oh, of course not. Uncle says a big ham and we have turnips and squash and apples.
Well, I shall pick up some money with my lectures.
But they so seldom pay and you don't insist upon your food.
Mommy, aren't we going to have any Christmas at all?
Why, of course, Beth. You come on with Anne and me. Sister's going to fix you cambric tea and bread and jelly for supper.
No, I'll take her, Louisa. You fix your father's tea. Come along, girls.
You are, Father, dear.
Thank you, Louisa.
Father.
Yes, my dear?
Father, I'm glad you bought your books.
No. I'm afraid it was an injustice to you and your mother.
Oh, no, Father. Do you know why?
Why, my child?
A good book is the precious lifeblood of a master spirit, embalmed and treasured up on purpose to a life beyond. That's by Milton.
Very nicely put. Much the same thought Mr. Thoreau expresses. Books are the treasured wealth of the world, the fit inheritance of generations.
Father, do you suppose that someday I could write a book? A fit inheritance? I liked her so very much. Then Mommy wouldn't worry and we wouldn't care whether people paid for your lectures or not.
You always understand, Louisa. Duties. Faithful child.
Perhaps in that moment, Louisa glimpsed the pattern of her life. Duty's faithful child, faithful in the service of those she loved. A close friend of the Alcott family was Ralph Waldo Emerson. And when her heart was fullest of hopes and ambitions and yearnings, she sought the calm serenity of his wisdom.
Come in. Oh, come in, Louisa.
Good afternoon, Mr. Emerson. I finished Heart of Midlothian, and I came to borrow another, if I may.
And what will it be this time?
Well, I'm not sure. Do you mind if I just roam around and select something? I love books.
They prize books most who are themselves most wise.
Who are themselves most wise? Oh, what a beautiful quotation. Who wrote it?
Why, let me see. I believe I did. It's in one of my essays. Now, let's see. Have you read Paradise Lost?
Oh, I read that when I was 16.
Hmm. And what about Plutarch's Lives?
Well, Father has that.
Oh, yes, 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 of course. Well, now, let's see. How about Jane Eyre?
Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, if I could write like that...
You seem to be aiming pretty high for a young lady of 17. But if you do as well in your next story as you did in your first...
Oh, Mr. Emerson, you didn't read that funny story.
Yes, indeed I did, and I was very proud of you.
Well, it was my first. I read it to the girls without telling them who wrote it. You should have heard them squeal with delight when I told them. I got $5 for it, too.
Which I suppose went for a new bonnet?
Oh, no, indeed. I gave it to Marmy. She needed it. But I shall write lots more. Oh, Mr. Emerson, do you suppose I can?
I'm sure you can, Louisa. Do you remember what Carlyle says? If a book comes from the heart, it will contrive to reach other hearts. All art and authorcraft are of small account to that.
From the heart.
That's it, Louisa. The things that you know best. Those that are closest and dearest to you. Remember the books you've loved best. Chaucer's Tales and Pilgrim's Progress and Jane Eyre. They've all been simple folk like us. And the greatest story ever written was about a baby born in a manger.
Boston, Christmas 1854. It's from Lou.
Oh, Mommy, read it.
Please read it.
Read it, Mommy.
Into your Christmas stocking I put my firstborn, knowing you will accept it with all its faults. I am very proud that the little tales I wrote for Ellen Emerson should now bring me money and fame. I called it Flower Fables. They sold 1,600 copies, and I received
$32. $32?
Oh, Mommy, isn't that wonderful?
Is that all, Mommy?
So, dear Mother, a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
But one swallow does not make a summer, nor one book establish a young author. Next year, Louisa was back at home, sewing and teaching school to eke out the family income. But as another Christmas neared...
But it's such a dismal day, Louisa, and raining so.
Oh, I love these blustery days. I'm a true November's child.
But must you go today?
Oh, yes, Mommy, dear. There's not a day to be lost if my book is to be published for Christmas.
The stage is coming.
Do you have everything?
Yes, everything. Even my precious talisman.
Your talisman?
Yes, my pen. The one you gave me when I was 14, and the precious verse you wrote on it. Truth guide your pen, inspire your theme, and from each note joy's music stream. Oh, I'll be all right, Mommy. It's going to be all right. I'll walk right into those editors, and I'll say to them, I am Louisa May Alcott. I have a new Christmas book.
Christmas book?
Yes. I wrote Flower Fables, and it was quite successful, but this is much better. It's called Christmas Elves.
I'm afraid it's pretty early for a Christmas book.
Early?
Yes, we don't start on our holiday publications until June.
June? Oh, yes. I guess... I'm sorry.
Why, Miss Alcott, are you ill? Let me call a cab. I'm afraid
Oh, no, no, I'll be all right. My aunt lives quite near here. I'll feel better in the air.
Oh, Louisa, you're drenched. Come, have a cup of tea. And here's a letter from your mother. Oh. And here's some fine news. Mrs. Lennox has sent you tickets to hear Jenny Lind sing tonight. Why, Louisa, what's the matter, child?
It's Beth. She's very ill. I must go back to Concord at once. You use the tickets, Auntie. Beth. Darling little Beth. Darling little Beth.
Oh, Louisa. I'm glad you came home. You stay with me?
Oh, Beth, dear. Are you feeling better?
Oh, better since you're here. But, Louisa, I'm not going to be with you long.
Oh, Beth, I couldn't go without you. You've always been such a comfort to me. When I'm cross, it's your sweetness and patience that makes life bearable.
I found a verse you wrote while I was sleeping, Louisa. Oh, my sister, passing from me, from your prison house, pain. Dear, bequeath me that great patience which has power to sustain. Oh, Louisa, I really meant so much. Oh, Beth, darling. So much. So very much.
Louisa.
Look. There's a robin on the sail. I'm glad the birds came back before.
Oh, Beth.
Louisa. Put your arm around me. I want to look at the sunshine.
There, dear.
Dear Louisa. You've always looked after all of us. Don't give all your life away to others. But you will look after Mommy and Father.
Why, of course I will, Beth.
Oh.
Beth. Oh, my little Beth. Oh.
So the gallant Louisa lost the only one who'd shared the burden which fell with increasing heaviness upon her competent shoulders. Followed 3 busy years in which she wrote feverishly, constantly, to meet the ever-increasing responsibilities. Then came a new call, a call more sacred, more urgent than that of family or friends. The nation was at war. A suffering humanity pleaded with an urgency that her great heart could not deny.
They need me, Mommy, and I love nursing.
Oh.
Shall I stay, Mommy?
No. Go, my dear. The Lord be with you.
You're heaven sent, Miss Alcott. We're desperately short of nurses.
Well, I don't promise to be awfully brave.
But it's hard for all of us at first. Just try to be cheerful. Now, if you'll just slip into this uniform. Well, I hate to put you to work the moment you arrive.
I came to help.
Well, then if you're ready, I'll... Will you look after this young boy first, Miss Alcott?
Why, yes, indeed. Well, what's your name, Sonny?
Billy, ma'am.
Well, how on earth do you happen to be in the war?
I was a drummer boy. Look, I got shot in the leg just like a regular soldier.
Well, I'll change the bandage. Does it hurt much?
Well, yes, it does, but soldiers don't cry.
Do you know what I think, Billy?
No. What?
I think you're the bravest soldier in this room.
Gee willikers, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Miss Alcott, will you take care of the man in Cop 5?
Yes, Miss Daly.
Will you come back, Miss Alcott? You're lots like my mother, and I miss her sometimes.
There. Now, is that better?
Yes, ma'am. You're real motherly, ma'am. Your hand feels so cool.
Nurse.
Yes, here I am.
Will you write a letter for me?
Oh, yes.
There's the address. Will you tell her?
Yes, dear boy. I'll tell her that you died royally, like a soldier.
You're not eating, Miss Alcott.
Well, I'm very tired.
Yeah, you look it. Let's see. You've been here...
6 weeks.
Yes, and you've packed 6 months of work into those 6 weeks.
Miss Alcott.
The soldiers love you. Your stories and your cheerfulness are the best medicine in the world.
Miss Alcott. Miss Alcott.
Well, I'm afraid I'm not so cheerful when I'm alone. But when I see their suffering, I seem able to go on.
Miss Alcott. Please have Miss Alcott come.
I'm afraid I'll have to go back to the war, Doctor. They amputated on Billy this morning, you know. Oh.
Miss Alcott's fainted. Where's some ammonia?
Here, help me.
Please, Miss Alcott.
She has a temperature. I'm afraid she's very ill. Orderly, here, help Nurse Dameron carry Miss Alcott to her room.
Yes, sir.
Right. Now, be careful.
Right. Come, Miss Alcott.
Miss Alcott's very sick, Billy.
Very sick?
Very.
Will she...
I don't know, Billy.
Will you tell her, Doc, if you can, that I ain't cried yet?
Back at Concord, overwrought, delirious, the frail, indomitable Louisa wavered between life and death. She would not loose her grasp on a world wherein she was needed. She'd scarcely recovered when she plunged feverishly into her writing to make up for lost time. Her new series of hospital sketches brought encouraging demands for more stories, novels, serials, and finally...
Is he gone?
He's gone.
Was it good news?
He wants another book.
How splendid.
Oh, but I can't, Mommy.
Why, Louisa?
They want a book for girls, and I don't know anything about girls.
But, Louisa, your own girlhood.
I was a woman before I ever reached my girlhood.
You've always been mother's little woman. But you can write of Anna and May and dear little Beth. You'll try, won't you, dear? We need the money so badly. Your father's tour and the doctor bills. It would be so nice if you could buy a house nearby for Anna. It's so easy for you, dear.
Easy? Yes, I suppose it does look easy.
But, Louisa, where are you going?
Up to my old room to write.
But you can't write in the attic. It's too cold. It's drafty there, and it's blowing a gale outside.
I know. It suits my November mood.
Won't you?
What is it about, Louisa?
Mr. Emerson told me once to write of the things closest and dearest to me. So I've written of us when we were all at home.
About me and my little women.
Little women. I'll call it little women. Sit down. I'll read you just a little. There was a good deal of rustling behind the curtain and an occasional giggle from Amy. Presently, a bell sounded. The curtains flew apart. And the operatic tragedy began. Remember? A moment was allowed for the first thrill to subside. Then Hugo, the villain, stalked in. Out came Meg with a gray horsehair wig.
It was exactly like that, wasn't it, Anna?
Exactly. I can't wait to read it, but my boys are waiting for me.
Coming, Anna? Goodbye, Mommy. It's a lovely story, Louisa.
Oh, Mommy. They said the book was exactly as things were. Mommy, how could they? They don't remember.
They're looking back through the misty haze of years, my dear. We know, you and I.
Yes, Mommy. I've tried to write it as I wished it might have been.
I know, little woman. But never any little women of your own. You must have wished.
Oh, yes, just sometimes, Mommy. But I've given Joe what I've missed. May I read it to you, Mommy? Friedrich, why didn't you?
Ach, Himmel. She gives me the name. No one speaks since Mina died.
I always call you so to myself. But I won't unless you like it.
Like it? My heart's dearest. It is more sweet to me than I can tell.
Why didn't thou tell me all this sooner?
Wouldst thou have said yes then, if I had spoken?
I don't know. I'm afraid I didn't have any heart just then.
It was asleep. Till the fairy prince came through the wood and wakened it. Ach, die erste Liebe ist die beste.
Yes, the first love is the best. So be contented, for I never had another.
Good. Then I shall rest happy.
Tell me what brought you, just when I most wanted you.
This, the poem you have written. Dreams of a future never found. Hints of a woman early old. A woman in a lonely home, hearing like a sad refrain, be worthy, love, and love will come in the falling summer rain.
But there never was any professor. An autumn has come before the summer.
November's Child is an original radio drama by Meredith Page and Virginia Lee Tracy, prepared by the radio workshops of the State Department of Education and the Ohio State University under the direction of Meredith Page. It was produced by the Crosley Players under the direction of Reichel Kent. Next week,
The Dean Without a College, a dramatization of the life and work of William Dean Howells.
This program originated in the studios of station WLW Cincinnati and came to you through the facilities of the Blue Network of the National Broadcasting Company.